Started in Ephesians chapter 4, and we found that the Lord gave the church the grace that they needed. To every Christian, He's given grace. He's given leadership. He gave the saints. He gave the apostles, and He gave the different early church. But then He's given us today pastors, teachers to guide us. And it's very important that we appropriate grace and that we put ourselves underneath the leadership that God's given us. Today, there is a great rejection of people wanting to follow underneath the authority of a strong church. They don't want to hear the preaching. They don't want to have accountability. This is healthy in any discipline that you're in. And God has given that to the church. And then we found as we went forward, God will take all those things and He'll help us grow together. Remember we talked about that we grow up into Him, they're wound together, every part supplying that which is needed. And as we do that, we become almost like a thick oak tree. And underneath us then is a testimony in a community or in our family that God has given to us. And so let's just look at that verse in verse 16 again, 4:16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, that's God's working, in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body, that's the church body, unto the edifying of itself, that's the growing and building of itself, and what is the anointment of it? In love. And so God, this is what God does. Verse 17, we talked about last week. Therefore, I say, and testify that we are not to walk like the Gentiles walk. Gentiles would be the unsaved mentality. When we get saved, we've got a new mind, and that's a lot of what the last message was about. We want to put off that old Gentile mind. And so we gave 8 marks to the Gentile mind. And if you look at those again, just remind ourselves, the vanity of the mind. It's a mind that has a purposeless emptiness in the bottom end into it. Number 2, they have a darkened understanding or imagination. They can't see the truth. Number 3, they're alienated from the life of God and the ideal of we're alienated. They're estranged from God. They can't talk to God. They aren't able to communicate to their Creator. Number 4, they're ignorant. And that just simply means they have the quality of just not knowing what is right. They're ignorant. And ignorance is not an excuse before God someday. And they're ignorant of the truth. And number 5, we found out that they're blind. We said that word blind could be translated callous. They have calloused their eyes over with like skin so that they cannot see. And more than cannot see, they won't see. They don't want to see. And they have calloused their eyes so that they're blind. And then number 6, they're past feeling. And this is the idea that they've become apathetic. They just don't care. You know, there's sometimes you get mad and you're angry, and sometimes you're in love and you're hugged, but apathetic is about the worst place you can be in any time. When you just don't care. They are out in the world and they just don't care about spiritual things. It doesn't come across their mind. They're apathetic. And then we saw number 7, that they're given over to lasciviousness. And we talked about lasciviousness for a while, and lasciviousness is the idea of totally yielded over to your lusts. Anything goes. They're totally given over. Yielded, that's the word given over. They've yielded over to whatever feels good. And then we found number 8. They work all uncleanness with greediness. And the idea there is that they have been so calloused and so blind, and they've tried to feel good by all the lascivious, lustful things, but after a while that loses its feelings, so they have to do something a little worse and a little more to give them a little more of a jag. Sort of like a person that starts out with marijuana and goes to a milder, a stronger drug and a stronger drug until they're mainlining. And this is the idea of the Gentile. The Gentile, his life is vain. This is all there is. It's all about how much money or my car and what people think of me and my reputation. And so they just try to do more and more and more. They give themselves over in uncleanness. And this is usually the word unclean here is the idea of immoralness. They're doing filthy, vile things with greediness. And the idea of greediness is sort of like a dog with a bone. They just do more and more until it just becomes really a disgusting lifestyle when you peel back the wrappers. Okay, the Christian is not to be so. Amen? And so let's just look, if you will, please, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. And there's three words we would look at in verse 20 and 21. Number one, you haven't learned that from the Lord. When we get saved, we're supposed to have a new teacher. And our master teacher is the Lord Jesus. And we didn't learn any of those eight things I just listed from the Lord. The Lord doesn't put his amen on a drunkenness. The Lord doesn't put his amen on pornography. The Lord doesn't put his amen on chasing relationships with all kinds of lustful garbage. No, we did not learn that from the Lord. That's not what he has for the Christian. That is not the mind of the Lord. And sometimes I know over the years, I've had people that are Christians that have gotten away from the Lord, and they're living away from the Lord, and they'll say, well, the Holy Spirit led me. What blasphemy! What blasphemy to say that you learned that from the Lord. You did not learn the world from the Lord. You did not learn to be a Gentile mind from the Holy Spirit. That's an excuse that even you don't believe. And yet, this is what people would like to salve their conscience with and try to believe that. So he says, you haven't learned that. And then verse 21, he says, if so be that you have heard him. And notice that you didn't learn that from him if you say that you've heard him. You know, tonight I was walking in and Walt was trying to get my attention. I didn't realize it. He said, hello! Finally got my attention. I didn't hear him at first. But you know, we say we've heard, and we've learned from the Lord. If we've heard the Lord, we didn't hear that. We didn't hear worldliness. And what is the church filled with generally in America today? Gentile mindedness. They didn't learn that at the feet of Jesus. And when they try to say that somehow God is blessing homosexuality in the church, yesterday I was buying some of the stuff that we have in the office, and I was talking to the fellow, and this fellow is a part of the United Methodist Church. I've known him for years. He said, well, preacher, they're having a vote this fall. I said, what do they got about my denomination? He's having a vote on whether we're going to ordain not homosexual, but what's the other word? Transvestite priests in the church. I said, you know what? There wouldn't even be a vote in my... What are you still doing in that church? I said to him. It's not right. I think I'd vote with my feet right out the back door of a church like that. You didn't learn that. If you were listening, and that's what he says here, if you have heard him, you're listening to the wrong people then. Your ear has tuned in to something that is not right. Then notice the third thing. He says, if you have been taught by him, if you have heard him, and then and the third thing is if you have been taught by him. And you know, the Lord wants to teach. I learned something years ago that helped me a lot in soul winning and in working with people. You can't teach somebody unless they're listening. Sometimes somebody's trying so hard to convince you, and they're not listening. They're just trying to get their point across. You can't teach somebody that's not listening. I think a lot of the problem that we, maybe even we, Bible-believing Christians, we come with our mind our philosophy already made up. And then we project it like, God, take the choices I give you. We've got to learn to be taught by Him. You can't win somebody to Christ until they're listening. As long as they're trying to convince you. But when they stop and they're listening and really considering, then you make ground. That is the same thing in a pews of a church. When we come to be taught by the Lord. Tonight, did you come hoping to learn from the Lord? I know pastors standing here, but did you hope the Word of God would teach you something? Then you're in a position to grow. But to put yourself in a place where the Gentile mind is. So he says, you did not learn this from the Lord. You did not hear this from the Lord. And you were not taught this by the Lord. So let's go to verse 22. I'm sorry, at the end. As the truth is in Jesus. Well, I'm thinking a lot about that this week. The truth is in Jesus. And I come back over and over again to two or three verses. John 17:17. Thy word is true. How do we know the truth of the Lord Jesus? You know, let me dispel something to begin with. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So when we read the Word, we're reading about Jesus. Amen? I can remember, maybe there's somebody here, this is a false notion that you have, that the only thing that I have to believe and read and obey in the Bible are the words that are written in red. Now, I appreciate a red letter. What's a red? Somebody tell me what a red letter edition Bible is. Somebody raise their hand and tell me what a red letter edition of the Bible is. Yes, Luke. Yeah, somebody's opinion has said, it looks to me, these are quotes from the Lord Jesus. These are exactly, and so somebody has superimposed on the printer to put the words that are seem to be, this is what Jesus exactly said. Now, are those important words? But are they any more important than the rest of the words of the Bible? No, they're all equal. If you have fallen into that sort of thing, thinking that there's more truthful words and less truthful words in the Bible, it's not true. Every word in the Bible is truth. And so if we would learn from Jesus, we would learn by reading His Word. But having said that, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we often think of that as talking about just the way of salvation, because that's sort of what we bring it up with when we're talking about leading. Jesus is the way, He's the life, and He's the truth about it. But Jesus is truth about everything. The Word of God settles it for everybody. There is no debate when the Word of God speaks it. That's where you find truth. I can remember as a young teenager, the first time I heard a pastor say, when somebody accuses you of being narrow-minded, say, I agree, I'm as narrow as this book right here. And everything that comes into my head, I try to filter it by whether it is truth or not truth. The rest of it is opinion, man's best thoughts, but Jesus, and it said it right here in this passage, Jesus is truth. And so when there comes to debate, and somebody wants to debate the truth of the Word of God, for the Christian, there is no debate. The debate has already been settled. Jesus is the right answer. And Jesus, the Word of God, is always triumphant or trumping truth. Anything else isn't. Now, if you would listen to the world, they would try to make it think that their philosophies or their whatever somehow trumps the Word of God or is equal to the Word of God. And that gets you right back, number three, I would think about the Garden of Eden. And isn't that what Satan tried to do? Yea, hath God said. What was he saying, implying there? God wasn't quite honest with you. He wasn't really truth. Do you know one way to tell a lie is by leaving something out that you're supposed to be important? God didn't leave anything out to Adam and Eve. And yet Satan dared to make his words equal with God. This is the Gentile mind. This is the unsaved mind. And when we know God's word speaks, then it settles it. Now, let me give you a fourth thought. Therefore, we should study the word of God with diligence so that we know truth. We have a couple people, we've had over our years, different men in our church that are lawyers. And do you know what they've done? They've gone to college and they've gone on to grad school and they study the law. And they study all those little fine print because they want to make sure that when they're making a case that somebody can't maneuver this way or that way on them. We as Christians need to know the fine print of the Word of God, if you might say it, that we understand it and we all together. So, thy word is truth, Jesus is truth. Let's go back to verse 21 again. As the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. All right? We've put that away from us. The old man, that old way of thinking, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And notice that Satan plays on our lust there, and he tries to draw us away. And that would take us to the book of James, where it talks about what pulls us away when we follow our lust. And when we follow our lust, that leads us to sin. And when we sin, it brings forth death. It brings forth death. This is where the Gentile mind leads. So we're to put that off. Verse 23, and we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And once again, how is a person renewed in their mind? By getting in the Word of God. So let me harp on something that I've harped on a lot over the years. Did you read your Bible this week? Were you in the Word of God this week? It's not a sin to miss it every single day. We can pick on ourselves. But I know when I'm in the Word of God, and I know when I'm not in the Word of God. Would you agree to that? So my question to you is, have you been in the Word of God this week? I learned a long time ago that we get done what we want to get done. We figure out how to somehow get it done. Today was a super busy day for me. I mean, just sort of ran all day long. But you know, I hadn't eaten anything and I was getting sort of faint. Somehow, in the middle of all my business, I ran home and I actually put something in my mouth and it went down in my stomach. I found some time to do that. Spiritually, I can do the same thing. If I really want to, I'll get it done. It's a matter of understanding how important. If you have learned the Lord, have you been taught by the Lord? If you have been heard, what a description of devotions. I'm learning from the Lord. I'm being taught by the Lord. I'm hearing the Lord. There's a word we use often in the Old Testament. Did you heed the Lord? That's the next step after learning and hearing. I'm not only hearing it, heed has the idea, it changed me. I put it into practice. I agreed with it, and I stuck it into my life as I've learned that truth. That then helps me to take off the Gentile mind, and I'm renewed in the mind of Christ. Now, the next part of the scriptures, and tonight I'm just going to run through them. We probably next week will touch back on these, but I'd like to give you the marks of a renewed mind. There's 9 of them. Mark them, if you will, please, in your Bible, if you will, please. We'll sort of get your pen out, if you will. First one. Get my focus with my eyes here. Verse 25. Put away lying. Put away lying. Number 2, speak the truth. The negative is put away the lying. The positive is speaking the truth. This is the renewed mind. Look at verse 26, please. Be angry and sin not. There are times that we need to use our righteous anger. Jesus used his righteous anger. But notice he goes, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There are times in all of our lives that we lose it. How many would admit you've lost it sometime in 2018? I'm not going to go any further than that. You've got to learn after there's a problem with it to not let the... When it says, let not the sun go down on the wrath, in other words, don't let it harden up in your life. Go get it right. I have to do that once in a while. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil an open door in your life. If you give the devil, the old expression, an inch, what's the rest of it? He'll take a mile. So, as a renewed mind, I'm going to close up the gaps. Are there some places that you have left open? Maybe we could say the armor is dropped, and you've given a place, or a better term than maybe a place, you've given an opening for Satan to make hay in your life? Not to the Christian renewed mind doesn't give the devil broadsides, hand him the knife, open the door, say, I dare you. He doesn't give him a place. Number 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. So the renewed mind person doesn't steal, but they are an honest day work, and then they share it with others, if you'll notice, working with his hands that which is good that he may have to him that needeth. So we're supposed to lead. I take that generally. I'm supposed to be an honest, hardworking individual. And I see that way back in the Garden of Eden. When the Lord sent Adam and Eve out, he gave them a job to do, work in the garden. And God wants people to work. He wants them to get out and get busy. And he wants them to be willing to share with others that have need. My page flipped, sorry. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We talked already about lying, but here we talked about corrupted communication. We may come back to this next Wednesday night. Corrupted communication. Communication that's, if you notice what he's playing off in the other half of verse 29, that which doesn't, to edify. Corrupt communication doesn't lift up people. So we're to get rid of stuff that hurts. Get it out of our life. That I become an edifier instead of a de-edifier. It's corrupted communication. When I was a teenager, just tag on that for a second, the boys in the youth group got pretty smarty mouth, and they liked to just tease the fire out of the girls. And I can remember one night there was a group of guys that had just really been ragging on the girls for a couple weeks, just having a good old time, and until the girls went home crying. And that's when the pastor got us together and explained Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. You're not helping those girls. He just told us, little smart mouths, you need to, and he just talked to us. You're corrupt in your communication. But we didn't mean anything about it, but that's exactly the thing. You were hurting, and you didn't even realize you were hurting. It's corrupted communication. That's like telling jokes about people with certain, what's the word? I can't think of the right word. Disabilities. And that's corrupted communication and corrupted thinking. And so we're going to tag off of that. Look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We are not to grieve. What? Let me ask you, we'll just take a moment on this. Parents, What can make you grieve about your children quicker than anything else? I could name four or five things. What makes you grieve when your parents, when your kids do this? Somebody raise their hand. When they just, well, describe that a little bit more because it needs a little more. And I think when they do what they were, you told them not to do it, and they acted and they talked that way. So when they don't do what they're told and they misbehave, what else? You go ahead. Look it up, look down there, Tony. Right over Tony and Jordan, right over there. When they don't tell the truth, grieves the Holy Spirit. We don't tell them the truth. Somebody else. What grieves us with our kids? They don't do what we tell them to do when they're not honest with us. Okay, when they just won't do the positive things they're supposed to do. It's not just they do bad things. They won't do the stuff they're supposed to do. We left you chores to do and this and this and this to do and you didn't do it. Okay, not do what you're supposed to do. Pretty obvious stuff. Grieves the Holy Spirit when we don't read our Bible, don't go to church, when we don't witness. Let's go a couple more. What grieves you, parents? Well, they just have an attitude. Boy, I don't have to even preach on that, do I? Yes, sir. When they're not interested in the things that are important, the spiritual things, and when we're not interested in God's things, well, that really. Do you know one of the things that really sort of fries me with my kids once in a while? When they just won't respond to you when you ask them something. You say, how's it going? Give you the shrug of the shoulders. Just think how the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you in a service and you just grieve him. You just won't listen to him. So these things, as a Christian, we are, in our renewed mind, to work at not grieving our Holy Spirit in our heart. Look, if you will, please, in verse 31, it's the 8th. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you from you with malice. Those are all things of the mouth, aren't they? That is a message all by itself. Jalen, you're looking for a sermon for this next spring. There is one right there, okay? Put away all bitterness. Put away all wrath. Put away all anger, clamor, evil speaking. Be put away from you. And the idea of malice with a hatefulness about it. This is not, that's Gentile thinking. We are to have a mind that doesn't do that. And then number 32 is the positive. Number 9, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving. Doesn't that sound like Sunday morning's message about Jesus when he was meek and humble and long-suffering? Doesn't that sound like verse 32? I wish I had more time. It seems like we're flying. I know I'm going to come back to some of these verses. I want you to get the contrast. You didn't learn these kind of things from the Lord. But you did learn, put this stuff off and put this stuff on. That's what you heard from the Lord, if so that you were listening. Have you ever said that to your kids? Are you listening? I wonder if the Lord wants to do that. Come on, listen. He's trying to get our attention. We are to renew our mind after Christ. And the truth is in Christ, we could say in his word. The two are right next to each other. The next thing that follows in chapter 5, this makes us children of the light as opposed to children of the darkness. Children of the darkness, they're mean mouth, they grieve the Holy Spirit, they've got attitudes, all these things that we talked about. But you have not so learned that. If you have the mind of Christ. And how do I keep that mind? How do I renew that mind? By staying in the Word, under the Word, and let God speak to me regularly. Open myself up. The book of Colossians says this: let the Word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly. And that's how I renew my mind and get the mind of Christ. I just let it saturate my mind. And when He speaks, I put off. And when He says do, I do. This ought to be a no-brainer for the Christian. And yet, this is where the struggle is, right here. The old mind, the Gentile mind, versus the renewed mind. And that renewed mind in Christ. Let me ask you a question. I don't think this is anything tonight was new to anybody here. But the question is, are you struggling with some bitterness, some wrath, some wrong thinking, some unedifying, some the stuff that we've talked about? Then choose to renew your mind in truth. Make a positive, clear-cut, no obfuscation, no excuses. I will follow the Holy Spirit and His Word as He leads me to the truth in Christ. And let it come in. Let's bow our heads, please.